Brenda and Kent are the only people at Renovatus that I've known longer than Mike, but only by about a half hour. Yeah. Mike and I have known each other since we were children. Okay, 19.
Same thing.
And Phoebe have not, and we still like each other. His presence and Joni's ministry at Renovatus have just been such a blessing. And I think if you didn't like Mike before, you're about to, because God says words through him. Come here, I'm praying over you some more.
Okay. Well, I want.
Oh. Okay. Holy God. We express to you our gratitude in advance. We think you're going to say something important right now through Michael. I ask God that you not allow that information to pressure him, but help him to settle into the kindness and the mercy of your Holy Spirit. May you, Spirit, find Mike's mouth available, and may you find our ears tuned in so that we can hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Your turn.
And there it goes. Well, I hope you're as anxious and nervous as I am, okay? Then playing feels level. He asked me a couple months ago, what am I amped up about? And I'm always amped up about prayer. And I hope I can tell you why in these few short minutes that we have together. Prayer is walking with God. Go to the next slide. This phrase, can you walk with me? I want you to just kind of hang on to it. That's one of the phrases. Another phrase you're going to hear me say a lot is that God is faithful. It's the other thing you really, really need to know about that. But first, I'm going to tell you a couple stories, okay? Because I try to be a storyteller. Next, the story is going to be about two kings and a temple. And we're going to be working in 2 Chronicles, around chapter 7, 263 in the book. Just put your finger there. Next slide. The first king is King David. King David was a mighty warrior. There was nobody like him. He was quoted to being a man after God's own heart. One of his great desires, though, was to build the temple. A house for God, a place for God to reside. But God said, you're not going to build it. Your son, King Solomon, will, though. That's the second king. With King Solomon, he had no peer. Other kings and queens would come to talk to him because he was so wise. He knew what was going on. There was nobody like him. Also, he was pretty wealthy. And God said, okay, King David, you're going to supply all the building materials, but King Solomon is going to build it. And so they did. Next slide. He built this. He built this awesome place for God. And in the sixth chapter of Chronicles, he prays. And after they pray, they pull out all the stops. Next slide. This is a house story. One more. When King Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple because of the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down from heaven and the glory of God, of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement and their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks. If you can read the red, say it with me. God is good, his love endures forever. Now, don't go to the next slide yet, just hang there for a second. The next verses tell you what they did. I mean, when I said they pulled out all the stops, he sacrificed 22,000 head of cattle, 120,000 heads of sheep and goats. That's a barbecue right there. That's a big barbecue. And after all that was done, God consumed it, and God begins to speak. He talks about what he has done for Israel. And then when he gets down to verse 14, he said something extraordinary because it reveals his heart. Go on to the next slide. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Okay, you got to remember, he just came down and sat there, and the glory of him filled the whole place that nobody could stand. He is in his house. He is there. He put his name on it. And as soon as he put his name on that, what does he say? Next slide. Well, prayer changes everything. One more. Sorry. If my people, his people, are called by my name, he chose you. You know what he really wants to do? He wants to put his name on you. Okay. Kim. He wants to put his name on Aaron. He didn't want to just reside in that building. He wants to reside with you. It took them a long time to build that building. It was majestic. It was amazing. And God says, yeah, I own it all. This is going to drive me crazy here. He owns it all. But you know what I really want? I want my people. I want you. I want to put my name on you. Last week, Malcolm talked about Colossians 3:12. You are a chosen holy people. He comes, he wants to make you holy. He chose you. This speaks about the heart of God. What does God really want? He desires relationship. He desires relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He doesn't want to sit in a building. He wants to be out with you. Read it in red. God is faithful. He wants to do things with you. That is why I'm so amped up on prayer, because it's walking and talking with God. In this small verse, you really get to the heart of what God wants. Next verse, next slide, please. If they humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Know who God is. He is the Creator, the Savior, and the Father. When Scott was talking about, he's the one who causes the sun to rise and to set. He literally holds the universe together from flying apart. When he takes his presence from us, everything is going to stop, and we're going to just be nothing. You got to think about the Creator of the universe who does that, who wants to come down and walk with you. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, you were talking about the golden hour. Do you remember that? And you had the picture of the tree in the background. God paints an amazing picture. He's all around you. He is here. When I talked about being nervous, it's because his presence is here. I don't want to say something he's going to get mad at, because if he gets mad, you know, it's kind of like you stand over there for the lightning bolt kind of thing. No, we don't want that. Yeah, boom, yeah. But he's looking. He wants you to look for him. And if you seek him, you will find him, because he's there. Turn away from your sins. Read the red. He is faithful. Demonstrate the faithfulness of God. We have Parker back there, about ready to walk, right? What happens when that happens, if you're there? You have Dad in the background. He's going to launch little Parker. You have Grandma doing this, because you don't want him to fall. And who's at the end? His mom saying, come. God was back here before you were born, setting things up. He is with you. He's protecting you. And he's going to be at the end saying, come home. God is faithful back then, he is faithful now, and he will be faithful. He is there all the time. We are selected, we are corrected, we are protected. He's there and all those things. He's always there. I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. And if you're looking in your Bibles, that's page 444. Before they call, I will answer. While they were still speaking, I will hear. Even before you called it, he has already answered. It may not be the answer you want, but he's answered already. Back in 2009, I just finished 28, 29 years of teaching high school band and college level band. And in my district, they were slashing everything. And they came to me and said, hey, guess what? I said, what? You get to be an elementary school teacher next year. The little guys in my head said, do you know who I am? Have you not seen? I have been a high school band director for over 20 years. I've done college. I've done this and that. And that's what I wanted to come out of my mouth. But what came out of my mouth was, okay, what you want me to do, boss? And I literally had to say, who said that? What is going on? And I drove home, and I was driving home, and I'm going, what did I say? Well, God knew that I had two kids about to go to college. I need a job. And he took me on the most incredible journey. I got to meet some of the best teachers I've ever met at the elementary, which I would have never thought. I attended some of the most outrageous conferences, learning all the way. I got an opportunity to partner with a great teacher, and we wrote a book together. And the book was good because it was just meant to help people in my kind of a situation. The name of the book was, So You Want Me to Teach What? That's the name of the book.
I love it.
Cool.
Love it.
And I had so much fun, because I'm a terrible speller and a terrible writer. Ask my wife. I'm the worst this side of Mississippi, because I couldn't spell that. But he was faithful. Say it. God is faithful. He knew what I needed before I got there. In my young years when I prayed for a wife, I couldn't have imagined Joni. But good thing that she's in my life, because I would have either hurt myself or burned something down by now. So she's been really, really good. So go on to the next slide. I'm sorry. I love this one. I will forgive. From the outset, he knew what I was going to do before I knew it. Yet he chose to forgive me. He chose to know that I was going to do bad things or not follow his lead, and he chose to forgive me. And in that forgiveness, he knows what my sin is, but he chooses not to hold it against me. Psalms 130, page 370. If you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, who can stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Not only will he hear from heaven, if we seek him, we will find him. If we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive. God is faithful. Say it again.
God is faithful.
He is there. I can't stress that enough. Next slide. Sorry. I will heal their land. What does that mean? For the Israelites, it meant literally, he healed their land. He gave them rain when they needed it. He gave them manna when they needed it. He gave them what they needed to sustain. What does that mean for us today? We as Americans love to think big picture. We want God to heal our land. We want him to heal the drug epidemic. We want him to heal homelessness, poverty, child abuse. What does it really mean? Healing your lands means renovatus. It means, are you here tonight? That's healing his land. It's healing your land because you're here in community. Relationships restored, that's healing land. Sharing. When I think of sharing, I cannot help but think of Patty Tunkel. She's always there, putting out herself. If that's not healing land, I don't know what it is. Last night's Halloween party is healing land. Because you're in community, you're out reaching out just to be there. A part of finding God is he will come to where you're at. We'll talk about that in a second. Prayer, my friend Kim, prayer warrior. She prays. That's healing land. Marriages, again, for me, my spouse, that's healing land. Because like I said, I'd either have already burned something up or just wouldn't be here. Our children, our young adults. AARP. I couldn't think of a nice way to say old folks like me. I'm sorry. Healing the land, because we're here. Healing the land. God's people investing in each other and community. God is faithful. If you were at the Halloween party last night, that was community. That was healing the land. If you're here tonight partaking of communion, that's healing the land. Because we're restoring ourselves weekly, daily to him. So we're healing our land. Next slide. Where do we go from there? What do we do with all of this? Years ago, when Kevin and I were in college, I found a book. And I don't think I ever bought it, but I just love the title. Next slide. The real name of the book was Can You Walk With Me, Jesus? It was a group of prayers of inner city people and kids. These people were living the hectic life like we all are, but they were on survival mode. And they didn't have time to sit and fold their hands, they felt, but they'd say, Jesus, can you walk with me and we'll talk. As they rode the subway, as they strolled around town, they were talking to God. They were in communication. They were in community at all times. Praying without ceasing. I think there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that says that, somewhere in 2 Thessalonians. Can you walk with me? This is God saying, I want to have relationship with you. Relationship is built on time together. The more time you have, the deeper the intimacy. For the ladies, if you really want to talk to your husband, tell you what you do. Either you take a walk with him, side by side, or put a power tool in his hand and build something with him. Putting a power tool in his hand, they will say amazing things to you. They will. They'll talk. Guys, this is really hard. Take your wife to coffee, sit across from her and look her in the eye and listen. That's hard. I know, dude, yeah. It's hard. And listen, that's the key. You gotta listen. I can't tell you what goes on in my wife's mind or how it works. I know when it works. I don't know how it works. I'll never get that far. But I know if we're driving in the car and we're talking and there's a 10 to 15 second lull in the conversation, she's going to say something to me that I don't know what the answer is going to be. So I did brace myself. I have some other answers, but that's for another story. All I'm saying is spending time together, listening, keeping your eyes open. A little book there, there's going to be a challenge with that. But before we get there, the crux of my lesson is just, I want you to walk with God. This little book, we're going to pass out in a second. This is a 5-day challenge for you. I want you to walk with God every day and talk to him. Then write it down. I'm not a daily journalist. I'm an epic journalist. In other words, when something big happens, I tend to write it down. I'm working on my third journal now. And they're filled with prayers. They're filled with things that happened, things that made me angry, things that made me happy. And I go back and look at those things, and then I still see that God is faithful. Even when I wasn't, He was. This book, I want it to serve as that reminder. It doesn't have to be wordy. It doesn't have to be anything else. Just do it. When you walk with God, know that, number one, He will meet you where you are. He's not asking you to do anything. He'll meet you where you are. But when you walk with Him, don't stay in that same place. Take the journey with Him. Take that journey. Listen and keep your eyes open, and you will be amazed at to what He's going to do. And recently, this one, I don't know if it's going through the treatment that I had to go through for cancer, because they pump you full of drugs, they make you all hormonal, which is weird. It's just weird. Okay. I was sitting in a at school in a, and we were having some assembly, and there is Jennifer, a little fourth grade girl. She pushes my buttons. I want to be unchristian on her. I'm gonna admit that sin right now. She drives me crazy. And there's a voice in the back of my head. Value her because she is a child of mine. Oh, I wanted to scream at that point. And it kept getting louder. Value who she is. To the point that I had to excuse myself because I started to cry. Because it was the voice of God saying, doesn't matter if she's a crazy little girl, you need to value who she is. And value your own story, please. Value the journey that you're on, because nobody else can take it except for you. Another story. 2007. At school. I was at teaching high school that, and we do musicals. And we were doing Guys and Dolls. Opening night, we always dress up. I was running the pit orchestra. I had my tux on. We were all formula. We were all looking good. And so right before everything's happened, and I was going over last-minute changes. And Marcella, senior girl, very pretty, big brown doughy eyes, she came up and she laid her head on my shoulder. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. That's right, I'm all that. And she looked up at me and said, can I call you grandfather? Okay, you could have heard the male ego shatter into 100 pieces at that point. Because I'm thinking I had my tux on, I am Denzel Washington, I am Sean Connery, I'm all that. And she took it with those words, can I call you grandfather? Shattered into a million pieces. And in my wisdom, I said to her, get away from me. Be gone, child. I did apologize to her later, because her grandfather's the one who raised her. And she thought enough of me to call me grandfather. I should have taken it for the praise it was. Value the journey that you're on, because you don't know who you're going to influence. We don't need another Oprah, but we do need a Kim, because we already got an Oprah, but we only have one Kim. We don't need another Sean Connery. We have Aaron. That's what we need. Those who rule needs, you know? We don't need another Duke Ellington. We have Roy. That's who we need. We need who you are to be what you are. I think Kevin's been saying it, Malcolm's saying it, they've been saying it. Who I am in Jesus is who I really am. And at men's breakfast yesterday, Ken said it real well. You're loved because of who you are, not because of what you did. He chose to love us. I think is there one more slide after this? I don't think so. No. God wants relationship with you. He will meet you where you are. He will walk with you as you walk with Him. Take the journey. Walk and talk and pray. He will hear. You listen up. Keep your eyes up. Value your journey. Value the story He will give you, because it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be a one-of-a-kind story. Do you have those, Kevin? So, little basket that's coming around. You can take one of those little things. I want you to, the challenge is, carry this with you everywhere you go this week. Stick in your pocket, they're pretty easy. Talk to God as you go. If you have something that is particularly on your heart, write it down. And then watch and see what he will do with that. If you have a praise, write it down. If you have a fear, write it down. Have you ever been driving along and all of a sudden, someone you haven't thought of in years pops into your mind? I'm convinced that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to pray for that person. Or you need to contact them. You need to do something with that. Take the journey. Write it down. Keep it with you. Keep, these are nice because you can put them in your pocket. Keep them with you. Write down what God is doing in your life. And next Sunday, I'm going to ask, did you write something down in your journal? You don't have to share it. I just want to know if you wrote it down. Just go with God and see what he's going to do with what you are, what you have. One of my favorite examples of what the definition of prayer is by a comedian. In Washington, D.C., there's a restaurant called Ben's Chili Bowl. And he said of that particular establishment, she goes, you go in there and you order a, it's called a half smoky with chili on it. You take a bite of that and you go, thank you, Jesus. And God will know that you really mean that. Wherever you are, take God with you and go. And so, that's it. Thank you.